Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
It's time for quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with T. Frank Carr. Before we get started, T. Frank, let me announce our winner from our Ask Greg segment. Our winner is Ed from Westchester. And just as a quick aside, T. Frank, Greg, we announced that this was Greg's last show as the full-time guy. Next week, we're going to have you fill in for Greg as the full-time, as our regular. And I guess I should tell you, we're going to change Ask Greg to Ask T. Frank. And you have no choice in that matter.
That would be strange if you were asking Greg and I was answering. So that's good. I'm pleased with that I don't have to go by another name. I've got enough of those.
Okay. It's going to be Ask T. Frank. So if you got your questions for T. Frank, we got to go into the app. We'll change the button. It'll now say Ask T. Frank. And any of your questions, he will be answering them. T. Frank, by the way, he does those great scouting reports for the YouTube channel for the bloggy. And if you have our app, speaking of which, there's a button right there that you can hit. It'll take you directly to the channel, and you can watch all of T. Frank's great videos. I highly recommend them. And T. Frank, a lot of times we tie in our segments with you to those videos. We're going to do that today. Recently, you did a segment highlighting two players, 2022 wide receiver commit Tyler Johnson, and welcoming in from the transfer portal, A.J. Litton, formerly of Florida State. Which way you want to start, Tyler Johnson or A.J. Litton?
Let's start with Litton, but first I just want to quickly say, and I know we kind of covered this already, but I just want to congratulate Greg myself on his new opportunity. You know, before I came on the show, I listened to the show, and I always enjoyed Greg's insight on this and both at Penn Live. So happy for him and happy for his opportunity. But if we start with A.J. Litton, I think that's a good place to start because he'll have a chance to make an impact immediately at Penn State because he'll be active and on the roster.
He will be, and let's talk about that. He was a top 100 player a couple seasons ago coming out of Maryland. Penn State did recruit him at the time. So what is Penn State getting in A.J. Litton?
Oh, man, if I only knew. And I know that I've done that before. I'm like, I don't know. But when you don't have a ton of tape, it's kind of inconclusive. Now, I can tell you kind of his physical skills, because I think those are pretty apparent on film, but as far as his technical abilities, we're talking about less than 200 snaps in coverage, according to PFF, over his first two seasons in football. And the situation, I think, dictated a lot of that, where he didn't have a clear path to the field at Florida State. They weren't going to use him at they're only going to use him at their field corner position, meaning alongside the field when you're lined up on a hash. And he was behind Asante Samuel Jr., who didn't leave early for the draft and was a primary starter that didn't come off the field. So he was used primarily as the third down corner when Samuel Jr. would kick into the slot. So he had limited opportunities, but as far as the physical side, when you look at his movement skills, his hip flexibility, his quick feet, you see why he was a top 100 recruit. He can shadow players in man coverage and play that press man coverage pretty well. And I think that probably is his most defining trait on film that we do see. So it's a very valuable and rare skill. And obviously the relationship with James Franklin and the coaching staff is one reason, but that's another reason why he's going to be on the Penn State roster this fall.
I would think Penn State had to think pretty highly of him to bring in a player at that position. It would seem at cornerback, Penn State's pretty well stocked for the next couple seasons.
Yeah, there is the adage that you can never have enough corners, and I think you've seen at Penn State that's, you know, when people get injured, or if you look at NFL rosters, when people get injured, you need to have quality depth, and you can never have too many talented players, too, because a lot of this, too, we're talking about the fact that Joey Porter Jr. is going to be a redshirt sophomore, third-year player, whatever you want to call him. You have Tariq Castro-Fields in his final season at Penn State, and you have Kalen King. Those are your three primary boundary corners. Joey Porter Jr. showed well, but we don't really know in depth what he's going to be as a player. This development and whoever hits as far as who's going to reach the high end of their potential, that's all a gamble. It's a crapshoot. So if you can get more talented players on the roster, you do that. Now, from a playing this year perspective, and because of his situation at Florida State, where he was removed from the team in 2020 when there was a new coaching staff, and don't know exactly why he was removed from the roster. That hasn't been reported. But he only has 2 years of eligibility left. So from that perspective, Penn State does cycle players through on their depth chart quite a bit when it comes to playing corners and making sure they don't play just two or three guys. But is he going to see a significant step up in playing time? I have a question about that. So for him and his perspective, he has the opportunity, but I don't know, it's a great opportunity to make a carve out a large role for himself on defense, simply because, as you pointed out, the depth chart is stacked with talented players that we know quite a bit about.
Now, we talk in terms of being a top 100 player coming out of high school. He has some physical tools. You talked about his ability in man-to-man, which is a valuable asset. How about the other side of the coin? What are his weaknesses?
So, again, a little bit unknown in terms of, again, Florida State is not a good football team. So let's just say that Florida State has not been a good football team. They've had good players, especially on defense, and they do have that history and lineage of good quarterback play, but it's not like he was in a good situation, and I don't know what sort of coaching or teaching he was getting. But when we look at the production on film, he struggles in off coverage, which Penn State plays quite a bit of, some zone, some off man, things like that. When he has to read the receiver and the route and the quarterback, part of it might have been just that he had so few opportunities. He wanted to make a play. He wanted to jump balls. He wanted to get in on the play, but he was jumping a lot of routes and giving up open opportunities, maybe that weren't targeted, but the receiver was open downfield because he didn't read the body language. He didn't read the hips properly, and the guy broke a different way from what he was expecting, and that created separation. So he's going to have to get better at reading his keys, reading the situation, and knowing how to play a receiver in off coverage, because Penn State, while at times they play that press man coverage, they will get aggressive with that. And I think this signals, by the way, that they want to do more of that, bringing in a guy like Kalen King, Joey Porter Jr., physical long guy that can control guys at the line of scrimmage, and then a guy with shadow ability like we have here in A.J. Litton. Those are the type of corners they're getting. So maybe this signals a change in what they want to do. But if it isn't, then he'll have to learn those skills, and that will be a significant thing that he'll have to show on tape.
Okay, let's move on now to Tyler Johnson. He's part of the 2022 class, very recent commitment, 6'1", 175, wide receiver from Virginia. I'll call him a product of the 2020-2021 recruiting process in that he wasn't, I don't even want to say he wasn't highly regarded, he just probably wasn't evaluated. So,
he wasn't regarded whatsoever, right?
Yeah, I didn't want to put it that way, but yeah, he wasn't regarded. So he shows up at Penn State's camp and impresses. A couple days later, he gets an offer. Then he makes his commitment. Talk to the Penn State fans, T. Frank, who just see the lack of stars. They see the lack of other big-time offers and say, oh, geez, we settled for plan B or C or D here.
So, you know, on that part, I can't speak on what the other options were, but when you already have Anthony Ivey and Caden Saunders in your recruiting class, I can't say that you were losing out on anybody talented in your recruiting class. So this is an obvious decision that they've made at this position, knowing that they also have a couple other guys in the recruiting class. Part of the reason is he was playing spring football in Virginia, and by spring, I mean they started in March, so they started in the winter. Winters are obviously different there, but so that's part of the recruiting process, and the lack of evaluation is he didn't play football till this spring. So I kind of view the three-star thing where he was just updated by Rivals as a three-star. That's kind of an entry point into a baseline of what his talent is when you review his film, where I see a guy that's a natural athlete. And on the podcast, I call him, in a holistic sense, he is a complete athlete where there aren't a ton of weaknesses in his game as far as he's got good ability in space, both on the ground and in the air to manipulate his body. He's got good long speed when he gets into the open field, and he's really good. He's got a basketball sense of being able to make people miss. So when you combine those two things of making people miss and burst afterwards, you've got a guy that has the ability to make people miss and get big plays. And he's, despite the fact that he's 6 feet tall, he plays bigger. His play style is that of a bigger receiver, so I think it complements the speed threats that Penn State already has in this particular recruiting class, getting different skill types and body types in their recruiting class.
I like how you talked about it being a basketball-type skill, that ability to go up as if for a rebound or boxing out a defender, and you do see that type of thing in his film.
And it's as well when he has the ball in his hands and he's trying to make people miss. It looks like a point guard trying to get to the bucket, where he takes that stutter step, he takes that false step and cuts back. He's got really good agility while in motion. Some of the areas he can improve are his explosiveness, even though I think he's a good tackle breaker. And again, when he gets into his stride, he's explosive. His initial move off the line of scrimmage is a little slow, and one of the things that I did pick up on film is I think he needs to play faster in general, and that's more of a hustle thing than it is a physical ability, because when you see the ball in his hands, he's a different football player. So he plays in the same way as one of the other receivers in this class, whose name is escaping me at the moment, they're looking for to play safety. I'm forgetting his name. But he plays a lot of snaps where he plays offense, defense,
Flowers?
Special teams. Yes, Mekhi Flowers. Thank you. Mekhi Flowers is in the same situation. He's playing a lot of snaps, so there is a certain amount of conserve your energy, and you can't sprint all out on every play. I do see a little more bad body language from a guy in this situation with Tyler Johnson that I would like to see improve, but I will not. It also is in there that he plays a lot of snaps, and I don't take, you have to take some plays off. Like, that is just a conservation thing.
And it's very difficult to make pass that judgment on a player if you see a few plays where they're taking the play off. But you have to at least take note of that. There are players who seem to hustle no matter the play, no matter the situation, even when it's not necessary, and some other players that don't. So I'm sure the coaching staff is at least taking note of that. T. Frank, like it always does, this segment went way too fast, but I have to say, that's it for this edition of our show. Thank you all for tuning in, and make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. To celebrate, GoPSURV.com has a very special offer. For the first home game of the season, rent one RV and get a second one for free. A two-for-one deal. That's right. You can double the family, double the friends, definitely double the fun. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 for more information.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.